January, the month of cold weather, dark mornings, and possible failure in their New Year resolutions collide to create a perfect recipe for January blues. Blue Monday, so-called the most depressing day of the year, falls on 20th of January. Welcome to the Debt Talk podcast with me, your host, Rippon Ray. I'm going to start the new year speaking about January blues. It is also the period gradually money that has been spent by many individuals dries out, leading to seeking both mental and money advice. To assist me in this month, I have Charlene Marks, Head of Mental Health and Money Advice at Mental Health UK. That's what it says in the tin, helping debtors coming out of mental health and debt trouble. Gareth Evans, founder of Cash Perks, sends funds to anyone in the UK via SMS message and allows cash instantly without the need for a card or a bank account. And finally, Tope Akande, co-founder of Buckstripe, a product designed for immigrants in the UK, formalizes informal transactions, validates them through open banking, and generates a credit score that can be reported to credit bureaus and lenders. My panel members at the end will also be providing top tips for Debt Talk listeners to develop strategies to reduce the pressure that January blues can bring. So let me start with Charlene Marks. Charlene, here we are, facing the gloom of January 2025, struggling communities have spent and getting ready to seek advice. Tell me about the psychology of January blues that should be different from other months and seasons.
Well, first of all, Blue Monday has no evidence in either science or fact. It was actually a concoction by a travel company to try and get people to book holidays. But what we do know is that the autumn and the winter months, with the lack of daylight, can be a particularly challenging time for people's both mental health and their well-being. But it isn't exclusive to January. Of course, there are things like going back to reality after Christmas and worrying about finances from over the festive period, which could intensify feelings of low mood and anxiety, which might be why some people find this month particularly hard. But there are some things that you can do to improve your health at this time of year. So it's always good to try and think about planning something to look forward to, hence why the idea of Blue Monday was invented by the travel company. What we know, these dark days, it's dark when we go to work, it's dark when we come home from work, can be quite challenging. And also what we know is that exercise can have a really a good impact on somebody's mental health, which actually this time of year, because of the shorter days, the weather, people aren't so able to easily to get outside. So having something to look forward to, maybe trying to make some time to go out for a walk, perhaps in your lunch break, and just to get out and get some fresh air is really beneficial.
I mean, when we speak about low mood, and you've talked about it briefly, sadness and low energy, I mean, I know you're saying it's not a seasonal thing, but isn't it specifically around this period we see a great deal of?
Yeah, what we know, there are some particular challenges in this time. As I've said, it can be the weather, it can be that period after Christmas, the days are darker, we go to work and it's dark, come home and it's dark. But we also know that people do struggle all year round. As I mentioned earlier, getting outside, trying to get some exercise, trying to get some fresh air can be really beneficial to people's mental health. We shouldn't just accept that, this season is why we're feeling the way we're feeling. And if someone is feeling like they need support or they need some support with their mental health, it's really important to reach out to friends, family, or ultimately your GP, because that's exactly what they're there to do and to support you with. It can be seasonal, but actually it can be more than that. And low mood and anxiety and all those type things can happen at any time of year.
You mentioned about it can be seasonal or it can be other factors, but what we do see is gloom, depression, low self-esteem. But how is that linked with indebtedness?
So what we know is people's financial and mental well-being are really strongly linked, and there's conclusive evidence that actually the two are incredibly strongly linked, and that people who struggle with their mental health may also struggle with their finances more than people who don't have mental health struggles. And it can be exacerbating both ways. So it could be that somebody's mental health is affecting their finances, or their finances affecting their mental health. I think the most important thing for anybody to do is to seek support. ideally to seek support as soon as they're recognising there's a need and they need support with their finances and their mental health, and to contact maybe organisations such as ours, Mental Health and Money Advice at Mental Health UK, because we've been specifically set up to help people with both their mental and their financial well-being. But whoever somebody reaches out to, I would suggest that they do reach out and get some support.
As we move towards February, your organisation is no doubt going to be overwhelmed by individuals seeking help. What sorts of symptoms would you come across from individuals who seek support, and how severe are those cases?
Yeah, so we support people with a range of mental health conditions, ranging from severe mental illness, such as psychotic episodes, bipolar, schizophrenia, as well as people who are just suffering from depression and low mood. But whatever their mental health condition, we are there to support them. And we have seen clients who have been suicidal, and they've told us the real impact that actually getting support has made to them. And actually, that's what I would urge anybody to do, is before they get to that stage, is to seek support. What we've seen clients, for instance, who, again, because of their mental health, have been scammed huge amounts of money. We had one client last year who'd been scammed over £100,000, and they'd been targeted specifically because of their mental health. And actually, again, evidence shows us that people who are struggling with their mental health are more at risk of scams. We also know that we've seen clients who've been financially abused by their ex-partners, again, because of their mental health, they've been taken advantage of. And of course, we see clients who are at risk of losing their homes, which again, all of these things can affect a person's mental well-being. And it might just be that they need support with any of those things, but actually organisations such as ours seek to improve both their financial health and their mental well-being. And I think it's just so important that people get support for both, because they are so strongly linked.
To address, I guess, the current topic, generally financial gloom, what can you say to both yourself and to Debt Talk listeners?
I think what's really important when we think about this time of year is that we're kind to ourselves. So we know that, you know, all of us are, you know, at this time of year, the weather's affecting us, our finances have been affected by Christmas, but actually it's reaching out and getting support. So having a chat with a friend, a family member, an organisation such as mine, but also thinking about ways that we can increase both our income and our expenditure. So thinking about maximising income, so it might be looking at, can we increase our benefits by running a benefits calculation? Can we increase our hours at work perhaps, and are there other things that we might be entitled to, but also looking at our expenditure as well, and just having a look of our whole financial health and how can we improve our financial health, which can then lead to improving our mental health and well-being as well.
Thank you, Charlene. Let me get Gareth into the conversation, who seems to be the guru providing money transfer to vulnerable communities. You have heard what Charlene said about January blues, mental health, and how gloomy are you feeling, Gareth?
Hi, Ripon. At the moment, I guess January, yeah, I mean, as we've heard, a lot of people, including myself, you've had a lot of enjoyment, a lot of expense at Christmas. And so, you know, you're coming back to work and there's that element of it. But I'm definitely more of a glass half full perspective of this time of year. You've got a lot to look forward to. There's new opportunities for the new year. So actually, hopefully, the horizon and you can take it, it looks good, and there's an opportunity to do something different.
Okay, so I know you focus heavily on budgeting, especially your product. How can budgeting ease the pressure of the gloom, which is beyond just money?
Well, I guess when you're looking at your finances, budgeting is a way to take that control back, or some element of control where you can really spend a little bit of time to understand where your money's coming in from and where your money's going. And as I say, if you really want to try and address some of your concerns about your finances, it's a really straightforward place to start. It's somewhere you can take control of. As we've heard, you can look at income and see if you can, there's ways of maximizing it. But most importantly, you can take control of what you're spending. So you can really get rid of some of those things you don't think are as important to you. And you can try as much as possible to reduce your expenditure. So it is an opportunity for you to do something and take control.
We can speak about, I guess, the product that you've found, a product you're a founder of later, but the use of credit cards to pay for holidays, which you then have to pay back, is that appropriate? Because you still have to pay back the interest anyway, with interest.
So I've worked in this field for, over 20 years. And I think the first thing to say is credit itself is so important. Access to credit is a really important financial tool, and it can help you to acquire something and pay for something in it upfront and then spread the cost of that over a period of time. So firstly, it's really important. But I think the key element around this is that it's that you do this in a responsible and you can afford whatever you're taking on. So before you do take on any new credit, you should always think about whether this is in your best interest. If you're buying something that is, appropriate, and can you afford it in that time? So ultimately with credit cards, there's often a period of time that you get a lower or an introductory rate. So the key is making sure that what you're taking on, you can afford to repay back, because what you really don't want to be in a position is when those introductory rates fall away, that you're left with paying the minimum amounts, and that will keep you in a costly debt for a period of time. So just the same principles, whatever credit you're taking on, just think about where you're getting it from. Really take your time to understand it and make sure that it's responsible and affordable for your circumstances.
I mean, I know you talked about credit, but are there other products that can assist in saving for longer term instead of the use of credit or credit cards?
So ultimately, having savings is a really, really important part of being, resilient, and actually saving for something in that longer term is really, really important. But I guess it's rather than a product, I think there's two important elements to saving: trying to make it as simple as possible that you're saving. So trying to save regularly by setting up some kind of direct debit. But I think the other most important bit about saving is trying to get it in a place where it's hard to, so you want to try and make saving as easy, but trying to access it as hard as possible, or put in a few bit of friction in there. So actually having it in a separate organization where you might not have an app that allows you just to instantly transfer it across. If you're trying to build up savings and do that in a really effective way, that is one of the really good ways to do it. And one thing that I've always found, I'm a big supporter of credit unions, and they often offer some kind of deduction saving where you can deduct money through your salary, for example, through your employer. And before that hits your salary, that's moved away into a separate saving account that is not always, easily accessible. So you can really build up through regular savings a large amount of money without really knowing about it.
You talked about credit union savings. Now, within that context, where does your product, Cash Perks, fall within the financial market?
I've been in and around this area around exclusion from financial services, and I don't know, but it's about 5 years ago, I was doing a piece of work for a housing association, and we were asked to design a grant scheme, a food and fuel grant scheme for residents that were struggling. And it struck me, and I've worked in this area for a long time, just how difficult in certain circumstances it was to get a cash payment to an individual through banking. People, there's a large number of people that don't have a bank account, large number of people that are in their overdraft. And so if you're trying to get a sort of welfare payment, an emergency payment to somebody, actually it was a real challenge in that circumstance. And so that was the sort of brainchild of Cash Perks. And it was, that sort of idea that there's like 1.4 million approximately that are unbanked in the UK, and about 14 million people that are in their unauthorized overdraft at some point in the year. So it's that challenge that I wanted to try and help overcome with CashPerk.
I mean, you must have carried out market research before you placed CashPerk. And what has been the result?
Yeah, so we knew those challenges that people faced. And, you know, I mean, through some of the work that I've done previously, we speak to people in those circumstances and trying to understand what might help. And so we designed CashPerk to allow organizations such as councils, such as charities, such as housing associations that are working with those clients and want to get that financial support to somebody, just to make it easy and simple and quick and really effective. And so how it works, it enables those organizations to instantly send a cash payment of between £10 and £500 to one of their clients who they've assessed as being in need. The individual gets those text messages, and the information that's in there allows them to just go to one of the 17,000 ATMs that we're working with at the moment across the UK and just pull out that money without the need for a bank card. So they don't need to, you know, I mean, they just use the credentials that's in those text messages. It's really, really simple, instant, 24/7. And so you can address that crisis. You know, I mean, that hardship, if somebody needs to buy food, put the heating on, flee a certain circumstance or get out of a certain circumstance, it's a really, really effective method.
So the method is effective, but who's the buyer? Who are you pitching at? Are you pitching at the council, the creditors, or housing association? Who's going to purchase the product?
So primarily at the moment, we've got about 45 clients. There's some of the big councils. So we've got people like Leeds City Council, Barking and Dagenham, Camden, some really big councils, and they use it for all sorts of different payments. We've got housing associations who are trying to support their residents. And then really importantly for me, a real plethora of charities and community organizations. So we've got everybody from big national benevolent support organizations right through to individual food banks, CABs, and real niche support organizations. So we're doing a lot of work with organizations around domestic abuse, where people might not have who are trying to get out of those situations might not have a bank account, people from refugee and asylum communities, and homelessness charities as well. So a real diverse sort of use case, really.
We all know, Gareth, when it comes to developing product, there's always a mission that is driving you and the product. What do you want to achieve from this?
Well, when I came into it, I just realized that actually in those financial crisis points, what was happening is people were, because it was a challenge to get cash to people, then actually it was resulting in organizations providing shopping vouchers or food aid. And what we see and what the evidence backs up is cash is king in this situation, and it enables that individual to know their circumstance, know what needs to be addressed. And if it's buying food, if it's paying their rent, if it's paying a debt, if it's putting the heating on, whatever the circumstances, they're in the best position to do that. So if we can make cash and giving cash in terms of those financial emergencies predominantly, and we can do it in a way that's really simple, quick, and easy for the person at the other end, that would be a really great outcome for me. And so far, that's what we're helping doing, but we want to scale this and make it more accessible for other organizations.
Thank you, Gareth. Thank you. Let me get Tope Akande, co-founder of Buckstripe, who designed another product for immigrants in the UK. Tope, your product is similar to Gareth in terms of the fact that you are focused on communities who are marginalized. Can you explain what the product is and how it will help individuals in a gloomy month?
All right. Thank you, Ripon. It's nice hearing from Gareth and already. I think, like you said, my product is a bit similar to what Gareth is doing because we are focused on marginalized communities. And not just immigrants, we've also observed that young adults in the UK also have access, are also affected with this problem. So what our product does is we are focused on credit invisibles in the UK, and then focusing majorly on immigrants and young adults. And the major thing, one major problem we realized is that access to fair credit is actually very difficult for this people group, right? And the major reason why they don't have access to credit is because they lack UK credit history, right? An immigrant that just come into the UK for the first year, second year, they don't have a credit history. And then for a young adult, maybe 17, 18, that just finished high school, they are doing apprenticeship, they just got their first job, they are being paid, right? But they are staying at home, right? There's no form of credit. They're not paying rent. They're paying their parents' board money and all of those things. They don't have access to credit. By the time they are going for their first credit, they pay what we call poverty premium, which is high interest, right, for their first credit. So, and looking at a data by Experian, we have about over 5 million people in the UK in this market segment, right? And we've also observed that because we, including myself, because I'm an immigrant myself, we get to have to pay high interest in credit, right, when we want to access credit. And the major reason is because we lack UK credit history. So now, in like Gary said, like one part of being financially stable, right, or having a very good mental space is having both savings and be able to access credit. It gives you a sense of comfort, a sense of confidence when you know that, okay, you have access to actually maybe pay for things, spread your payment for a long time, at least maybe 3 or 4 months, right? So what our product is doing, or what we do basically, is we've been able to identify some informal transactions that speaks to people's credibility, right? That is not recognized by traditional banking system or traditional credit reference agencies. And this informal transaction speaks to these people's group or this credit invisibles credibility, but it's not being recognized, right? So what we've been able to see, we've been able to identify those transactions, those type of transactions, and then we'll be able to identify a very good infrastructure, which is open banking, right? Access to financial data or transaction data, right? So merging these two together, we've now been able to create what we call a credit visibility score, just like the name implies, credit visibility score. So we've been able to transform these informal transactions. For example, board money for young adults, right? Young adults, they pay what we call board money, usually between maybe 100 to 300, or it can even be as high as £500 for some people, right? This money is informal. They are paying it to their parents to contribute to the well-being of the house, right? So, and through market research, you'll be able to realize that parents, like, it's a, I don't know, maybe Garrett can actually confirm this, is like a cultural thing in an average British home, but right? So informal transactions like the board money, and then informal transactions like rotational savings and credit schemes, that is very, very common in the immigrant community, right? And also informal peer-to-peer lending. Because there's a report that said in 2023 that one in three adults in the UK actually borrowed from their family or friends. Do you understand? So there's a lot of informal transactions that actually happen like that. So what Boxstripe does is we connect to your current account, right, to be able to track these transactions, and which are informal, and then build it into a credit profile, which we've termed credit visibility score, right? And then we'll be able to, like, okay, speak to lenders, right? Match it with lenders, and like, okay, with this, we believe this particular person is credit worthy, right? So that way they will not be able to have to pay high interest in the first credit that they are getting, right? That is one part of where we are looking at. And in the long run, we are also looking at reducing the entrance or to your first credit. And the way we are going about it is that we are going to be launching a deposit secured credit card, such that with a deposit, we can give you a credit card, right? And with the credit card, it's going to be zero limit limited interest on it, because we've been able to give, we have a deposit in place, basically, and all of those things. So basically, what we're just trying to do is to be able to help these credit invisibles to be able to build credit and access credit, fair credit, easily.
But ultimately, who is going to buy your products?
All right. So we have both a B2C and a B2B, because from the B2C, like I just mentioned, the young adults, immigrant, right? They will be able to connect or link their current accounts to Boxstripe, and then we'll do the tracking, and then we'll do the credit visibility score, right? And then we go ahead to actually link them with lenders or have access to planners. Planner can access e-commerce, buy now, pay later platforms can actually access the data that they have like that we have of them, and then they'll be able to make this payment, right? So B2C customers can actually access it, or we are selling to them. Then also, we have like a AI credit scoring model that is accessible to lenders and financial institutions for them to be able to identify and provide services for credit invisibles within their customer base. Do you understand? Like, for example, the AI credit model that we have can be accessed by lenders, right? Or can be accessed by banks or financial institutions that are looking to offer credit to who we have termed credit invisibles, or for an average person that, or for an average customer of theirs that does not have like a credit score at the moment, right? So that's our credit scoring model can be used to actually identify and serve their customers. That's for lenders, right? And then for customers, they will be able to like they can link their account with Boxtribe, and they'll be able to do the tracking and then link them to lenders. So it's both B2C and B2B.
But would the product itself be in the form of an app, or would it be in the form of a website? How would it look like, feel like?
All right. So the product is going to be a form of an app, right? It's going to be a form of a mobile app, right? You have to download the mobile app, and then you put in your details, and then connect your current account, and then you put the details. Like, for if you are paying board money, for example, we ask some basic details from you. How much do you pay? Get the data from you so that we can use that to track and then create the credit visibility score for you. So definitely it's going to be an app.
Okay, so how can this product be found?
Yeah. So we have a live version of it currently in an emerging market. For the UK market, we are going to be live by second quarter in the UK. So just check in the app stores, or iOS or Google Play Store, you'll be able to get the Boxtribe app and have access to it.
Thank you, Tope, for sharing your product information. Now, for those who are listening to Debt Talk and want to share your experience or want to listen to a subject that is pressing to you, you can get in touch with me on X, Your Dr. Debt, or email me at ripon.ray@yourdrdebt.com. Let me return to my panel members to provide Debt Talk listeners with top tips to assist decision makers and campaigners in formulating policies to ease the pressure of January blues. Let me start with Charlene from Mental Health UK.
So I think what's really important is that everybody supports both their financial and mental well-being at this time of year. As I said, I think at this time of the year, what we need to think about is how we prioritise our own mental health. So getting out there, getting some fresh air during the day, doing something for you, putting things in your diary to look, have something to look forward to, keeping connected, meeting up with friends and family, socialising as much as possible. But really, what I'd also suggest is that people do prioritise their mental health all year round, not just in January. It can be more difficult this time of year because of the things we've mentioned. But if people need support, they do reach out to organisations such as ours at Mental Health UK, or reach out to friends, family or their doctors to get support.
And Gareth from Cash Perks.
So my top tip is try to take control. And the two ways that I think most people can do that. The first, and this was mentioned earlier, there is £23 billion of unclaimed benefits that people are entitled to. And this can transform your life if you only were to get it. So there's lots of different checkers out there, but the Money Helper website, there's a one on there, 5 questions, and it will give you a guesstimate about how much you potentially are entitled to, and it will then lead you through to apply. It can be, I mean, it doesn't matter whether you're working or whatever your situation is, fill those questions in and see if you're entitled. And then the other key thing is, if you are really struggling now, and you are struggling financially, reach out and get help. And the first place I would go is your local council. They have funds available for emergencies where people are really, really struggling to heat and eat. Reach out to them. And then there's a whole host of charitable trusts out there which you can get grants from that you don't have to pay back. And there's a really amazing site, bit of tech, called Lightning Reach. And you just apply on there, one application form, and it'll check your entitlement for some of these grants from a whole host of places. So those would be my couple of tips if people are struggling this winter.
Finally, Tope Akande, co-founder of Backstripe.
All right, thank you. My last word is going to be about the strength in communities, right? So if you're struggling or you have any particular issue that you're facing at the moment, you need to look into, talking from my own point of view as an immigrant, like look into your community and like maybe the church or any religious activity that you, or religious center that you belong to, and communities, like people that have been in this country, like even before you and all of those things, those ones will be able to at least maybe signpost you to different charities or some things that you are qualified for. And then some of these communities also have their own food bank and some all of those ways to actually really help them and then build up to it. So my advice that you look into your community within it and then get help from it too.
I'm very grateful to my panel members, Charlene, Gareth, Tope, for giving their precious time from their busy schedule to take part in Debt Talk. My next podcast is going to be on credit ratings while indebted. Thank you for listening to Debt Talk podcast with me, your host, Rippon Ray.